Thank you for that, and thank you for being in your place this morning. And we're going to be looking in Galatians chapter number 1. I'm looking forward to the fall here and getting school started and getting the kids back. When school's coming to an end, I'm always excited about it. Like, hey, the kids will be away, you know, we'll have some. And then it's like, you know, you kind of miss having them hanging around here. And I'm sure, give me 3 weeks into school and I'll change my mind about that, probably. So thank you for being here. We're going to look at Galatians chapter number 1. Oscar, can I get a little more? I don't think I have any monitor here, and I don't want to. There. We're going to talk about the Apostle Paul. And over the course of the summer, actually, there's several of the epistles. I looked at some of the truths here, and I want us to see one this morning that I hope will help us and encourage us. That's great. People will have life-altering experiences, right? You talk to people sometimes, and it's like, there was this event in my life that changed my life. Now, sometimes that can be for negative, and sometimes that be for good. I remember years ago, there's a hockey player. His name was Alexander Daig. He was considered like the next generational type player. He was going to be the number one pick. He never panned out. He was considered a flop. And I remember he said when I was right before he was drafted at 18, he said every year I would set goals for myself, how many points, how many goals I'm going to score. And right before he was drafted, he said, one year he hit the goals and he just thought, what's the use of it? Why put all this effort in? And that was a life-changing thing for him, for negative. But sometimes we have life-altering things that can help us. There was a young boy, probably in the 20s, 1920s. He was a very sickly young boy. And in fact, he was so sick that by the time he was 14, he was already out of school because he couldn't take even just the basics of going to school because of all the different health issues he had. He heard that at the school he had went to, someone was going to be giving a speech about health. And so he went down there, and this man spoke about health. He spoke about, you know, exercise and changing the food you eat and all these different things. And this young boy became inspired. He decided that he was going to change his life and change the direction of his life on his own, by the way, 15-year-old boy, and changed his diet, started all this exercising. That took over his life. In fact, he was the first person to open up a gym. It's called a health club. First one to do it in America. It worked for him, by the way. How many of you have ever heard of Jack LaLanne? Jack LaLanne was a health guru. Obviously, it must have worked. He lived till he was 96. But the direction of his life, he spent his whole life for health and wellness, and I'm not against that necessarily, but because he heard someone speak about it when he was 14 years old. Our story today is about somebody who had a life-altering and a life-transforming experience. Of course, we know it's Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, I would say, is the greatest character in the New Testament. Fact of the matter is, other than Christ, he might be one of the greatest characters in the entire Bible. But he wasn't one of these that started out that way. He was reached by the Lord, and he had a transforming experience when he met Jesus Christ. Paul is the author of Galatians. If you know the book of Galatians, the Galatian church had a problem. After Paul had left, people came in and started preaching a different gospel, not a gospel of grace. It was, by the way, that's where a false doctrine usually starts. Somebody starts it. And so Paul is dealing with them. And sometimes you get these people that when you hear something that's not scriptural, sometimes people will even use a Bible verse to back it up. But they'll pull it out of context, and they make it say what it's not saying, and it doesn't mesh with the rest of Scripture. Scripture is a whole. So obviously, if someone's shown you something that's against the whole of Scripture, they are not interpreting it correctly, and they're not looking at the context. That's what people do. So Paul taught them how to be saved. But these people came in and said, well, yes, you trust Christ, but you also have to keep the law. and it completely corrupted their church and changed. So Paul is dealing with that as he writes the book of Galatians, and of course this is scripture, it's for our testimony as well. So Paul uses his testimony to teach them the truth about the gospel. And by the way, one of the most profound things we can have, which proves the truth of the gospel, not always, but it gives it a lot more power in our life, is our testimony. When our life is changed to the point where it matches up with what we're saying happened to us, people cannot argue with that. So I gave an illustration a couple weeks ago. I don't remember who it was. Someone was talking to an atheist, and he goes, I can sit there and I will argue and debate every single point about your belief in God. He goes, but there's one thing I cannot get out of my mind, the life of my Christian mother. It's a very powerful thing. And so Paul had a great testimony. And here's Paul's testimony. Paul went from one who persecuted Christians, right, who preached about Christ. Yep. Here's what he says. Look at verse 23. When he's talking about after his conversion and people heard about him, the early church, obviously they would have been a little suspicious because Paul was killing and persecuting Christians. And now all of a sudden they heard Paul is a Christian. Look what it says in verse 23. But they heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which he once destroyed. You see, Paul had been religious, but his religion was not of salvation. And so when Christ came, which is really the fulfillment of the religion he believed, he persecuted those that accepted Christ. By the way, I will say this, isn't that how it is with truth? Yeah. People won't just agree to disagree with you. Now they have to shut you up. They don't want to hear the truth. By the way, this is America. We can disagree. And it doesn't mean anything. We just disagree. But I believe in a person's right to state what they believe, whether I believe it's true or not. But that's not what's going on in our society. But that is a message for another day. So when Paul got saved, he did not just get assurance of heaven. Now listen to me. Paul got a completely transformed life. How did that happen? I'm going to tell you why that happened. It's super simple. Because of the gospel. Look at verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation, that's my manner of life, how I lived in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And we know, if you know the history, he did. Yeah. Verse 14. And profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation. In other words, he wasn't just a believer, he was a leader in the religion, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. You see, God knew that Paul was going to be saved, and God already had a plan for his life. By the way, God told Jeremiah the same thing. And he said, I knew you when you were in the womb. Because he's a person in the womb. Okay? Might want to remember that in November. It's amazing how our, and this isn't the message, but I'm upset. It's amazing how our politics is sacrificing itself on the altar of killing unborn children. Come on. By the way, you know what that is? That's millstone. You abuse children, you don't care about the lives of children. That he says it's, Jesus said it's better if a millstone were. And you were thrown in. We're talking about the ultimate submit shoes. I think God's upset with that stuff. And it bothers me Christians are running towards those type of things. But anyhow. But God had a plan for him. As God has a plan for everybody. So it's the gospel. So if the gospel can take Paul from a persecutor to a preacher, it can take you from wherever you're at to where he wants you to be and doing what he wants you to do. But we have to believe that. Salvation should have been a life-altering experience for us. It's not just an eternal altering experience, although it is, right? I'm glad when I got saved that it transformed my eternal destiny. I was no longer destined to hell. Now I'm going to heaven. But there's more to it than that. God has more he wants for us than that. Fact of the matter is, if God didn't want anything from us, would it not have been better the moment we got saved, he just takes us to heaven and avoid all the drama and all the nonsense? No, God wants to do something in your life, but he does it through the gospel. If you're saved, everything in your life is because of the gospel. Your destiny is because of the gospel. Everything you do in life should be because of the effect of the gospel in your life. And when you think about your death, that should be great because of the gospel. We don't like it. We miss people. But man, it's nice to know where they're at.
Right. Amen.
So what do we need to understand about the gospel? Let me give you a few thoughts in the few minutes that we have. If it's this important and it turned Paul from a persecutor to a preacher. First of all, let's understand the power of the gospel.
Yes,
look at verse number 3. Paul gives his traditional greetings in the beginning of the books, but they're powerful and they're scripture. We should pay attention to them. He says in verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is before peace because without the grace of God, there is no peace from God. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and of our Father. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know what the power of the gospel is? It delivers. He delivered us. The word deliver means to rescue, to pull out.
Amen.
Do you understand that there is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ? I was on my way to hell before Easter Sunday, 1978. But that day I heard the gospel, and it was not the first time I heard it, but that's the time I responded to it, and I got saved, and I was pulled literally from the flames of hell. I was delivered. That's no longer my eternal destination. Yes, it delivers us from eternal punishment, but you know, it also delivers us from the sins of this world as well. You know why? Because it makes us a new person. We know the verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are, all things are become new. Let me ask you, is that true in your life? You say, Pastor, how can I be a new creature? How can the old things go away and the new things come in? Because of the power of the gospel. Well, Pastor, I'm just trying to man up on my own. Not going to happen. When you got saved, the power of the gospel transforms you. The Spirit of God indwells in you, and he helps you to be a different person than you were before. And let me just say this. If you're not a new person and you are saved, you're settling for something way less. I don't like to settle. I want the best. And he says, I have the best for you. I have a better life. Now, sometimes in our own thinking, in our own feelings, we feel that the old life is the best life. But let me just tell you, that is a lie from Satan, and eventually you'll figure it out. Let's just trust God. We're a new person. It gives us a new purpose. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, which is right after the verses about God's grace and salvation, he says, for ye, we are his workmanship. That means a new product created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Man, not only does God want to work in your life, he wants to use your life to work in others. By the way, we miss some of those steps, don't we? Sometimes we get saved when we don't get the new life, and then now we get the new life, and it becomes a selfish life. Well, I need the Lord's help in our marriage. Who doesn't? I need the Lord's help in my family. Who doesn't? I need the Lord's help as I go to work every day. Who doesn't? But he wants to use you to make a difference in the lives of others as well.
Amen.
You say, Pastor, I can't do that. Yes, you can. The power of the gospel. I love the verse in Romans. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's Romans 1:16. For it is the power of God unto salvation. You say, well, Pastor, I can never talk to someone about Jesus. I can't save them. Good. You can't save them. You didn't die for them.
Right.
I know sometimes you get a new convert. It's like, I saved somebody. I'm like, man, are they in trouble? I know what they mean. God used them to share the gospel. I get it. But you say, people won't listen. That's not up to you. You'd be surprised. I won't go through the whole story. My brother-in-law's mother, first person we witnessed to, and I didn't even know what, I just looked at the New Testament and I had it written, we're sinners, and I read verses and I went back and forth. Didn't ask a lot of questions. By the time I was done, I looked up and she was crying. Why? She thought, this poor kid, he has no clue what he's doing. You know why? She got the truth of the scripture.
That's right.
The scripture convicted her. Okay? So you give the gospel. You don't know what. Say, they didn't listen. I was witnessed to multiple times before I got saved, and they probably all walked away thinking, what a waste. But that truth they gave me, I never got out of my heart, and it convicted me. And when I went that day to church, the message, yes, led me to come down the aisle, but all it did was restir everything else that someone had already talked to me about. Power of the gospel. But secondly, we must understand this, the perversion of the gospel. If something is that powerful, if God can use something like that to change a person's life, our enemy is not happy about it. And the gospel can be perverted. Now, these are some pretty rough verses. And as we get into it, if you think it's too rough, remember this, I didn't write it. Verse 6. Remember, people came in and started perverting the gospel that they had believed. Paul said, I marvel in verse 6, that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
Yeah. Come on.
Now, let me just say something about the other gospel. It's not the real gospel, it's a fake gospel.
Yeah.
And Paul said, what happened to you? If you read a few chapters later, these people that love Paul, he said, man, if it were possible, you would have given your eyes to me. Some believe that Paul had an eye issue. He said, you love me so much. If you could have, you would have given. He goes, but am I now therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? See, they had perverted them so much, they were starting to think, hey, there's something wrong with Paul. He said, how can you turn so quickly from the gospel? I'm going to tell you. Verse 7, another one, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You know what pervert means? You corrupt it. You know how you corrupt it? You add a little bit of untruth to it. You say, what's wrong if they're just wrong on a little bit? How many of you would drink 98% water and 2% arsenic? You can, but you die. I remember we had a missionary one time, he came in, he goes, he was preaching, and there was one of these false churches. They came in and said, you don't preach that Jesus can protect you from death if you drink poisons. And the preacher goes, I don't. He goes, well, I believe that. He goes, do you really believe it? He goes, yeah. He goes, hang on. Hey, honey, go get the rat poison. You know what he found out? That guy didn't believe it after all. But they pervert it. They add something dangerous to it. How does that happen? But though we... Okay, listen now. Or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. We were in Salt Lake City on vacation, and my wife and I went alone. You know, we had to get away from everybody so we could breathe. And we went down to the temple in Salt Lake City. By the way, we found out she's a Mormon. There's a book in the Book of Mormon called the Book of Alma. We also found out she's transgendered because Alma was a guy. Okay, she showed me. It was a little like action figure, Alma. I'm like, that's not you, babe. You know, like, I'm not buying that, okay? But can I just tell you something? When Joseph Smith came, he said he got the Book of Mormon from an angel. Moroni, who is mentioned as a demon in the Satanic Bible, by the way. And he said, they call it now another testament of Christ. They used to call it, I believe, another gospel. There is no other gospel. It's a false gospel.
Yeah.
Well, they mention Jesus. It's not the same Jesus.
Yeah, right.
Their Jesus is Satan's half-brother.
Yeah.
And their goal isn't for you to be saved. Their goal is for you to become a god.
Yeah.
I don't want to be God. Because anybody that was under me would be ashes. If I was God, and they said, I don't believe in you, like, zzz. Take that, cowboy. We'll see who you believe in now. Listen, it sounds good, and they're family orientated, but if anything preaches a gospel that's not just straight up Jesus Christ, and you're a sinner, and you need to trust in what he did only, and you can do nothing, it's not the gospel. Well, I heard an angel. Though we are an angel from heaven. Now, you're with me? You say, Pastor, are you sure that's what he meant? Look at verse 9. He's going to repeat it. And when God repeats something, especially back to back, that means he's really trying to emphasize it. As we said, therefore, so say I again. If any man preach any gospel unto you other than that which we have received, let him be accursed. You don't even want to know what accursed is. It'd be better for them, and I'm not saying this, to be off the scene and dead than to preach a false gospel. But God's not telling us to go do that. That's not what we do. But what he's trying to get across to us is like, look, it's a bad thing. Yeah. These people believed in Christ, and now they don't. Now, the problem is a lot of people today that maybe preach a false gospel, some of them just don't know any better. You teach them, you give them the truth. But we can't buy into it. Amen. You say, Pastor, how do we know what's right or wrong? 1 John tells us that the test is this. What do they believe about Jesus Christ? That's it. Not just that, well, Jesus was a good man. He was a good teacher. No, he was a prophet. No, he was God in the flesh. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross, not for his sins, but for ours. And he wants us to trust what he did in payment for our sins and nothing else. If that's not the Jesus they preach, by the way, people can be deceitful. Years ago, they came by our house and knocked on our door and said, we're just coming by talking to people about the Lord. I'm like, oh, I'm a Christian. Now, I knew already that they were Mormons. They said, we're Christians too. That's a lie. So I thought, okay, let's just go with this. And I said, well, I believe the Bible is the word of God. And they said, we believe the Bible is the word of God too. And then I said, I believe that the Bible is the word of God only. And they didn't say anything. I said, how come you didn't say me too? And then I said, look, I'm trying to be nice here, but let me just say this. I do what you do, but I would never knock on someone's door and tell them I'm a Mormon so they'll listen to me. I would just tell them the truth. And obviously, if you have to lie to get my attention, you might want to think about what you're doing. And they just kind of looked at me like, we had two ladies another time knocking our door. And I said, and I thought they were Christian. I'm like, oh yeah, we're Christian too. Oh, that's great. I said, yeah, I trust in Christ, blah, blah, blah. She goes, well, have you ever been baptized? And I'm like, yeah, I have. She goes, well, good, because that's important, because to be saved, you don't just get saved. You have to do a work of righteousness, baptism. And I said, that's not true. Because Titus says, not by works of righteousness which I have done. Yeah. The very phrase they used. And I wasn't being mean. But if they're going to, I have to tell them the truth.
That's right.
But let's be very careful. We cannot have our life changed if we're believing in a false gospel. Here's how simple it is. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. How many of you that was too complicated? If you have Christ, you're saved. If you don't have him, you're still cursed and you're still on your way to hell. It's pretty simple. So what's the antidote? Have Christ. You say, well, what's the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15 defines it. Moreover, brethren, verses 1 to 4, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, by which you received and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again a third day according to the scriptures. That's not hard. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And Ephesians tells us it's not of works. It cannot. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. For by grace are you served through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works. But It's just so, I don't understand how we can take something so simple and so life-changing and try to change it. It's our enemy. There are so many different ones, and I won't go into it today. Third, and I will say this, though, we already looked at it's a serious thing if it's not true. Third, let's look at the preaching of the gospel. Verse 11, Paul says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." What Paul is saying is, I'm preaching something to you that just somebody didn't tell me that sounds good. That's not a man's philosophy. I received it straight from Jesus Christ. It came straight from God. And our gospel comes straight from the Bible, and it comes straight from God. You can take every spiritual belief system and basically boil it down into two categories. This category is what you're supposed to do. This category is what Jesus did. Do you understand that? There's only one spiritual belief system that says it doesn't matter what I do, it's only in believing what Jesus did, and that's Christianity. There is no other. There is no other. And we preach that gospel. That is what Paul is saying. And it's our responsibility as well to be like Paul and take that gospel which God gave to us, and why don't we share it with others? You say, "Pastor, I'm with you. I believe in the truth of the gospel. I believe in the purity of the gospel. And I don't believe in anything that would pervert it." But let me ask you this. Are you preaching it? Are you sharing it with anybody? Do people even know that you're a Christian? It's your responsibility. If someone were to come to you and say, I want to know more about God. I want to know more about what this whole Christianity thing. Can you tell me about it?" Would you be able to tell them? If there were someone and you saw an accident and they're laying on the road and you know that they are taking some of the last breaths of their life and they looked at you and said, "Please help me. Do you know how I can make sure I'm going to heaven?" Would you be able to tell them? Someone's got to. "Oh, but an angel is going to come from heaven." God doesn't use that. God uses people to reach people. God uses us to share the truth. We need to do that. Have you ever talked to anybody? Have you ever even handed out a tract to somebody? I didn't know in the early days how to preach the gospel, but I knew how to hand out tracts, and I knew how to get people to church, and I'd bring my friends to church, and I don't suggest you do this. It was probably not the best system, but I was only 18, and I had more zeal than knowledge, and I'd bring them, and I'd sit with them in church, and they would start the invitation, and everybody would bow their head and close their eyes, and I'm like, "Hey, come with me." And they're like, "Yeah, just come." Okay. And I'd walk them down to the front, and I'd take them to Dave Sisson. Yep. I didn't know I should call him Brother Sisson. I'm like, "Dave, this is my buddy here. He's not saved." And they'd look at me like, "Yeah, he's going to talk to you. Go talk to him." "What are you going to do, right? We're already down there." And you know, a couple of them didn't get saved, but some of them did get saved.
That's right.
And I probably should have talked to him myself, but I didn't know. Bought my best friend over at that time, not my best, but the one I was hanging around the most. And I like, "You're going to go to church with me on Wednesday." He's like, "What?" I'm like, "We'll feed you dinner. Just come to my house. We'll go together." And my mom made dinner, and I had a plate for him. And again, tactless. He comes in for dinner, and like around his plate are gospel tracts. You know, the little chick track, "This is your life, hell is hot," you know. I'm like, "Read those while my mom's finishing dinner," okay? Not very tactful, but I want to get the truth out.
Yeah.
We're getting the gospel out. Next, Paul talks about the proof of the gospel. Look what he says in verse 13. "For you have heard of my conversation, my manner of life, in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." Why is Paul telling them that? Because Paul's trying to say, "Hey, don't you get it? I am completely different. Don't you see? I'm not what I used to be." By the way, that is powerful to people.
Yeah.
The problem we have with Christianity is this. We struggle to tell people the truth of the gospel because they know too many Christians that don't live by the gospel.
Right.
And when Paul changed Jesus Christ, verse 13 changed into verse 16. Look at it. "To reveal his son." What's the next two words? "In me, that I might preach him among the heathen." Yes, by preaching, but what he preached was backed up by the radical transformation in his life. Let me ask you this. And I'm not saying you need to walk on water. Are you with me? Because none of us will walk on water. We'll all sink. But is there a difference being made in your life since you've been saved? Are you heading in that direction where things are different? Where the people that you live with, and they know you're saved, and they know you go to church, it's like, you know what? You're a little different. You're changing. I wasn't perfect, and I didn't know what to do in times, but my family noticed something was different. My friends I would go out with on all weekend long and party and do all the nonsense, they're like, what happened? You know, it was before texting and all that stuff, right? So I just disappeared. They had to come by my house like, what are you doing? Like, I'm not doing what we were used to be doing. I'm not going out. They're like, something's going on here. That's maybe why a few of them did get saved. I'm not sure. But the biggest hindrance that people will have in life is that we will have in sharing the gospel is the life we're living. And again, no one says you have to be perfect, right? But man, if we're progressing down the road, they're going to see that. And we're not doing it to put on a show. We're not progressing down the road to put on a show. It just naturally happens when you let God work in your life. And people will see it. What does your life say to your family about Christ? What does your life say to the people at work about Jesus Christ? You say, oh, don't worry about that. I haven't told them. Why? Just get out of the way. Let them know. Next, let's see the performance of the gospel. Look at verse 23. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past preaches the faith which he once destroyed. The gospel, and the word performance because it's P, but it's working in his life. It's just working. It helps him in all these other areas. As I mentioned before, what difference has the gospel made in your life? Has it made a difference in the kind of life that you live? I mean, I'll be honest with you. If you're like me and you got saved a little bit later, right? You're going to look at your life and you're going to see some things that's like, you know what? This isn't what Christians do. This is something the Bible says that we should avoid. And so it'll make a difference in your life that way. Has it made a difference in the kind of things that you do? Right? It reaches out. You put your whole schedules around Jesus. It's not in the message, but I'll throw this out. For some of you, I want to say thank you for coming to church this summer. We'll see you at the end of football season. I know. No, Pastor, I'm not going to miss church because of football season unless my team's playing at 10. I hope they lose. I hope they, even if they're the Rams, I hope they lose. And the Chargers. But please don't do that. I want them to win. Okay? You know, I had a guy one time come in. He got saved. He was coming to church in my singles class years ago. He said, hey, Pastor, I just want you to know you're not going to see me for 3 months. Why? Soccer season just started and I play every Sunday. He gets half a credit for telling me, but I'm like, really? You look at things and like, is this really what I should be doing? Okay, we're making friends. Has it made a difference in the kind of relationships you have? By the way, relationships can be tough. Can I get a witness? But you know what? They're not as tough when you're saved. As God works in your life, these qualities that grow in your life help you in the relationships of life. Then lastly, the possibility of the gospel. Here it is, verse 24. And they glorified God, the people that were seeing him. But what's the next two words? In me. In other words, Paul's life was so radically different, other people were seeing it, and it was glorifying and honoring to God. And let me just say, that's the ultimate aim and goal of a Christian, right? Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. When we're trying to do what we can for the glory of God, we're not as much concerned about what other people think. Now, we're not knuckleheads on purpose. Well, you know, people don't like me because I'm a Christian. No, they don't like you because you're not likable. It has nothing, don't blame that on Jesus. Okay? Well, they disagreed with me, so I blew them out of the water. That's you. But our life ought to glorify God. So why should my life glorify God? One verse and we're done. For ye are bought, 1 Corinthians 6:20, you are bought with a price. How did he buy us with a price? The gospel. He died for our sins. And we trust him, and he bought us back. He redeemed us from the curse of sin. You are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, the things that you do. Are you ready? This one's tough. And in your spirit, the way that you act, which are God's. Yes. What's the point? You know, what Paul did, what God did in the life of Paul completely transformed the early church and getting the gospel to the Gentiles. Just, God wants to do that in our lives. You know how we impact this world? We're saved, and God works with our life, and people see it. We share the gospel, and God will work in some of their lives. We have to be like Paul. You say, Pastor, I've never been a persecutor of Christians. I know, but you have your deals. I have my deals. So are we going to let the gospel do more than just save us and take us to heaven? Are we going to let it change our lives so we can do the things that God wants us to do? If we may, can we bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute, please? Every head bowed, every eye closed. The gospel. The gospel. It's not just about salvation at all. It's about more than salvation. I always say it, wrapped up inside, it's a gift of God. Wrapped up in that gift of salvation, you know what it? All these other things. So let me ask you this. Are you saved today? If you are, what effect is your salvation having in your everyday life? We're not like the pagan worshipers of the Old Testament. The false worship, the idols they worship, made no demands on their regular life at all. If you're here this morning, let me ask you this. Have you received the gospel? Are you like me when I went to church that Easter Sunday where I walked into church and I had not received Christ and I needed the gospel? Here's the question. Let me ask you this. If you were to die today, are you 100% for sure that you would go to heaven, or do you have any doubt? If you have one percentage of a doubt, you need to trust Christ today, because if you trust him, you won't have a doubt. If you say, with nobody looking around, if you say, Pastor, that's me, I've not received the gospel, I've not received Christ, I am not 100% for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, Pastor, that's me. Would you raise your hand this morning? If that's you, I'll pray for you. Anybody else? Yes, in the back. Anybody at all? The gospel can't work in your life. Yes, back here. Unless you've received it. Let's stand together this morning. How's the gospel working in your life? God wants to work in your life. His spirit lives within you, but you have to spend time with him. You have to be willing to let him work on your life. If God spoke to you this morning, the piano is going to play. Why don't you come? Why don't we come and ask God to do something in our lives so that we can be a light in this world, not just with our words, but how we live, that people may see us and see what God did in our life. Because I'll tell you something, there are people out there that are not happy with their life and they're looking for something. And they don't need a false gospel, they need a true gospel.